The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you. The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Welcome back. You can contact us by text to 51551, email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. Well, we heard earlier from All Blacks legend Dan Carter, but to discuss the careers of some of our homegrown sports stars, many of whom often struggle to earn a living, I'm joined now by sports journalist Cliona Foley. With the Soccer World Cup getting underway in Australia, Katie McCabe and her team will be centre stage, of course, this week. Cliona, there's been a massive difference in the financial support that the women's team has received over the years compared to the men's team. Is it fair to say that at least things seem to be moving in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it interesting that even before they qualified for the World Cup, the Irish women's soccer team got a sponsor, a team sponsor, Sky, and the men's don't have one at the moment. And that is telling of the interest in women's team sport and also just across the world and the globe. This World Cup, it's about 100 million in prize money. That's three times what it was in 2019. Now, the men's is 400 and something million, but it's a start.
And what about ages? How much are wages? How much do the women earn, basically?
Well, Katie McCabe, who's our superstar, you know, player of the year for Arsenal, scored goal of the year in Women's Super League this year and the only non-finalist to get into the Champions League team this year. She's reckoned earning six figures, good six figures in England. But then you, and the top players, like we're going to see a lot of Sam Kerr on Thursday, Australian star, plays for Chelsea. 400 grand a year is what she's estimated to be on with Chelsea.
And that's probably now, the highest in the world.
They're the highest in the world. The top Americans in the professional league in America, they reckon between 300,000 and 400,000. Now remember, Kevin De Bruyne, 400,000 a week, is that what he is? So, like, there's the comparison.
Well, I saw one comparison. I think it was the captain of the women's England team earns, yeah, 200 grand a year, and Harry Kane earns 200 a week.
And that's exactly the difference. But this is the first World Cup where the women actually are getting prize money, every one of them. So for this Irish women's team as the first qualifiers, the bonus for them is that even by getting there, they're going to get about 27 grand each, even just to get it, even if you don't get out of the top 16. And for some of them, that's the equivalent to a year's salary.
In other sports, and I'm thinking about athletics, someone that we really have to keep an eye on, it's interesting to see how financially it works out for her as well, is Rashida Adeleke from Tala. And she's expected to turn professional because she won the NCAA American Collegiate 400 metres in Texas recently. We have a clip from that.
And Adeleke is right there, but here comes Britton Wilson. Adeleke has the crowd. Wilson has the lead. It is closer than we expected to be. Here comes Adeleke. Oh my gosh, this is a huge upset. This seals it for Texas. Ooh. And at 49-20, she just misses the collegiate record.
Well, she sealed it for Texas. She may be able to seal it for herself if she turns. Yeah. She's expected to turn pro. She could do very well financially.
Yeah, we're going to see our first glimpse of her actually in a big money race, if you like, because she's still in college. We don't know when she's going to go pro. But in Monaco in the Diamond League next Friday night, she's racing. She's a superstar. She's once in a generation, 6'1". She was 6'1" when she was 16. Incredible. But the big thing for her is that the event that she's brilliant at, the 400 metres, it's one of the blue ribboned events in track and field. And she won it in this amazing time. Third fastest time in the world, 20th fastest ever, Richard, in 400 metre women. And so all those scouts, all those money sponsors, all the Nikes and all of the big companies are all at those NCAAs, the collegiate finals, looking for the next big talent. And she won in a blue ribboned event. So we're looking at, she will definitely be earning good six figure foot sums, but get an injury. And there's a load of, you know, there's a load of injury things and written into those contracts that you can lose a lot of money in them. Exactly. So, you know, it's precarious.
Other women's sports stars that we have, people at the top of their sport, the reality is that they have to have other jobs in order to finance it, to make a living. One such person is the weightlifter, Tam Noyan.
Yeah, Tam Noyan, whose brother is our best badminton player. She won a European medal, the first Irish person to win it in weightlifting this year. But Tam, to finance herself, started an eyelash company and called Tammy Lashes, and she has two salons that she runs in North Dublin, and she also runs a gym in North Dublin. And that's just, she started the eyelash business to fund herself so that she could go have the money to get abroad and actually go and compete. So that's how it started. So a lot of our Olympic and prospective Olympic talents, a lot of them are self-funding themselves to get onto the next level where they might get a government grant.
And to some extent it probably depends on the sport that they're in, like even for example the Donovans in rowing,
yeah,
not exactly in a position to have huge earnings from that despite world success.
Sponsorship maybe, but it's not a professional sport. So Paul Donovan has already a physio, he's just finishing becoming a doctor. A lot of our top rowers are all really, really high qualified, because when they finish rowing, there's no career for them to go into in rowing. You know, it's a totally amateur sport, so they have to have a backup.
The other interesting thing, whether it's in things like athletics for Irish women stars and competitors, a lot of them are doing big PhD degrees and things like that. When it comes to sport, I remember in the United States, you know, half the basketball team in the past would have been doing a degree in cocktail mixing, you know, because they'd be on a scholarship and they'd be playing basketball for the college.
Yeah, BA Netflix.
The women now are quite different.
Well, I think the men's and the women's, and in Ireland particularly, I mean, they tend to be very, track and field particularly, our swimmers, they tend to be very resilient people who are very good at their sport. But because of that, then they're also quite good academically and they push themselves hard. So like somebody like Louise Shannon, our top 800 metre at the moment, she's in Cambridge at the moment doing a PhD in astrophysics. Mark English is a doctor, definitely not cocked. I mean, a lot of our top athletes, you know, their academic qualifications are high. And I think it actually mixes, but then what they do sometimes is then they'll just quit their job, like Mark English is, a year before the Olympics so they can concentrate on it.
When it comes to differences in earnings in things like football, for example, wages will be different. People will say, okay, not as many people go along to attend a women's football match. The ticket prices don't generate as much income. The TV rights don't generate as much income. But when it comes to endorsements, first of all, that's changing. But secondly, with endorsements, you know, half the population are women. So through endorsements, they should be in a position to close that earnings gap on men much more quickly.
I never quite understand why it isn't the case. And one of the big issues I have is, like, I think somebody like Kelly Harrington, who comes back with a gold medal, and we saw with Katie Taylor, they are in that position. Their gender doesn't matter. They're seen as Olympic champions, and that's the way it should be. What I think is really interesting in the business world is that I always wonder, why don't more successful women in business invest in women in sport? And we've seen that now in America. So there's a team in Los Angeles playing professional soccer now called Angel City. And the big investors in that are Serena Williams, Natalie Portman, Eva Longoria. So women who are successful are now putting money into women's sports. And that's a new thing. And I've never understood why it wasn't there before.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. And we're all looking forward to the World Cup as well. Cliona Foley, sports journalist, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.